Vectis Radio, FM 104.6. Your station, your community.
I'd like to introduce you to Richard and Megan, who are here to talk about the son Arlo, mm-hmm. who was diagnosed with eye cancer and eventually had to have his eye removed. And it's a bittersweet story in a way, you know, there was some horrific kind of challenges you must have been facing through that time. Now actually got more positive side of it. So really, we'd like to hear your story, really, and tell us a little bit about what
happened.
Quite
a poignant day today, isn't it, actually? Yeah. You were saying, you know, a year ago today where you
were. Yeah, a year ago today was when I asked a professional and I said, what is this? Like, can you have a look? And she said, you need to go to the doctors. So we went straight to the doctors that day, and then an appointment was made for a year ago tomorrow. And yeah, that's when we were sent to London to have him diagnosed. So
Richard, just to pick up the story with you, what was it that Megan and Megan's sister had spotted?
So essentially, Arlo had gone round his auntie's to play with his cousins, and it was quite a bright sunny day, so the light was coming through the window and it shone like a white glow in his right eye.
Okay.
It was quite a substantial looking thing as well, and that's kind of one of the symptoms of retinoblastoma, which is what he was diagnosed with.
Right, okay.
In Royal London. There are other symptoms as well, so prior to that we had noticed, but I didn't really think much of things like, obviously when you have a photo taken and you have a bit of red eye in a photo, that's quite a normal reflex because of the way the light refracts with the eyes. But with an eye that's affected by a retinoblastoma, there is no red eye. And quite often, if the sight is lost as well, they'll begin to kind of form a squint as well. So the eye will trail off into either the left or right direction as well.
Okay, so there are some signs that people could look out for, but this is a very rare condition. It's like one child or baby diagnosed a week, isn't it, in the country or something like that?
Yeah, in the UK, I believe it was 50 children were diagnosed last year.
Yeah, so...
And that's an average for the... there's only two specialist clinics that actually treat retinoblastoma. There's one in Birmingham and there's the one in Royal London that we went to.
Okay, so in a way, although that was a distance, we were quite fortunate that it was relatively close to the island, because if there's not that support across the country, it being that rare, it must be quite difficult for people.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there was a challenge there for us around the travel and going to the hospital up there. But fortunately, like you say, it's not as far as some places. We happen to know one family that we kind of befriended up there that was coming down from Glasgow by plane.
Goodness.
So yeah, I mean, it's I suppose in some ways it's a sign of, you know, the clinics, and the fact there's only two of them in the UK is just a sign that it's so rare.
Mm.
You don't necessarily need that many for the capacity, but it's still a challenge to kind of find those specialists as well.
So Arlo was 5 when this was diagnosed. Obviously, you have like routine eye tests as a baby, but then there's like a vision screening when you first go to school, but those sorts of things probably wouldn't have been in depth enough necessarily to notice this.
Yeah, it's quite a challenging thing to find initially for some children, because as parents will know, when their baby is first born, they have a midwife look in their eyes anyway. So you'd hope potentially that they would see it then. I mean, they're medical professionals, they know what they're looking for. Then also, like you say, there's in primary school as well, they'll have the vision screening, but they're not necessarily equipped with, from what I understand at least, to look directly in the eye at that point.
Yeah, they will check their vision. Specific things, aren't they, but not necessarily in the in-depth way that you would have needed, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. They check their vision. Arlo, from what we understand, he would have started to lose sight at that point, but they adapt very well to losing sight. I don't know if you know anyone who has... is partially sighted, but if they have vision in just one eye, they adapt very quickly. Mm. When they've lost an eye, it's usually only about 20% of their actual vision they've lost.
Mm-hmm.
So it is very easy to adapt to. I think the challenge with spotting a mass in the eye, so you know, from birth or something, is with every child that has or had retinoblastoma, it grows very different rates.
Okay.
So Arlo was very... very old to have it. They say it's, you know, children from birth till 5, but traditionally, or typically it's around three that they're kind of spotted.
So it really came out of completely out of the blue for you as well.
So Arlo did have like the red reflex test when he was born, and he had red reflex in both eyes. It just takes a certain, they say it takes a certain growth spurt for the tumour to kind of, he would have already had it. He would have already had the dodgy cells, but as he grows, the tumour grows. Mm. So, I mean, he was five when he got diagnosed, and my sister saw it in him, what, 2 weeks before we went to the doctors. Mm. So, you know, it just grew, and
was the timeline then in terms of the diagnosis? And then you said you had to go up to the London hospital as well, because I'm assuming the test just to establish what it is. There's normally with these a period of not confusion but still not knowing, you know, I'm assuming at time people think it could be multiple things until you actually get that full diagnosis.
So we asked our health visitor, because she was coming over because I was pregnant, so she was coming over to do the checks, and I said, what do you think this is in Arlo's eye? And she said, oh, I don't know, you're going to have to go get it checked. So we went to the doctors that day, and the doctor said, I don't know what that is either, so I need to send you to the eye department in the hospital. The day after, we went to the eye department in the hospital, and they did the normal checks that they do on anyone, and then they said to us, we're going to need to do some more checks. And that we knew at that point that there was something bad, because they were taking him out back and doing more tests.
And it was all happening quite quickly.
Yeah, all happening really quickly. And then that was on the 9th of August last year. And then the 16th of August, he was diagnosed with retinoblastoma up in London. And then the 23rd of August, he had his eye removed. So it was literally within 3 weeks. Yeah.
Mm. So for him, as at age five, a huge, terrible time for the whole family, but for a young child to have to go through that procedure, and then presumably following that procedure and having to deal with that, there's to dealing with the fact that the tumour had got there in the first place.
Yeah.
So was that chemo, was that involved, yes?
Yeah, so he had four rounds of chemotherapy after he had his eye removed. I think it was about 4 or 5 weeks after. And he had to go up to Southampton for that. He had a central line in. Yeah, it was not nice. It wasn't nice to see. And I think as a parent, watching your children get poorly because of something that's healing them, that's the hardest thing, because you have to explain to a five-year-old that yes, you feel rubbish because of this medicine, but actually this medicine is going to help you, like make you better. And that was, for me, was the hardest thing to explain to Arlo, was I think the eye removal was a walk in the park compared to the chemotherapy for him, definitely.
Yeah, how did he feel throughout the process? Did he have an understanding of what was going on at that age, or was he still, still? I mean, you guys are much more aware of it, like you say, and you were pregnant as well, to just throw that into the mix as well.
I think, firstly, the one thing that kind of stood out to us was that the hospital themselves were so good at explaining this concept to kids.
Yeah.
So they have dedicated kind of play therapists that work on specifically on kind of explaining these problems. Arlo still didn't quite fully understand what was wrong with him when we explained to him that there's something bad in his eye that needs to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was following the surgery, he still thought he had his eye.
Yeah.
And, you know, what they actually do is that they do put an implant in the eye socket. So as far as he's concerned, he feels something there. He looks around and he can feel within his eye. So it was quite, even with that preparation with the play therapist and explaining that, you know, this thing needs to be removed, it's still, you know, some kids are like, they have a bit of a selective hearing with the way they choose to kind of understand things. Mm-hmm. But he still found it quite a shock. And telling him, I think the one thing that we kind of wanted to make sure of is that he understood that it's all for his own benefit, but at the same time, there are little bad cells in his body that just needed to be taken away. And that's about as simple as we could make it for him. Mm. You know, it didn't take away the fact it was still quite traumatic for him.
I think it's only now, a year after, that he's actually, in the past couple of weeks, actually started talking about it and actually started saying that he's got a special eye, and that the first time the other day I saw him cover his seeing eye, his good eye, and he was just like, I can't see anything. And I was just like, well, I know. And he's just like, and he knew he couldn't see anything, And that's the first time I've seen him do that.
Mm.
And it's just, yeah, it's taken him a year, but he's definitely getting better. He's definitely getting there with it. He's understanding it more.
I think now he finds it more fascinating than anything else.
Mm.
He's learning more about himself and he's becoming more confident as well, which is good.
Yeah.
And I was interested to hear how your other children kind of reacted to what was a very traumatic situation for the whole family, because you've got Nora, who's 11 months, and then Reuben, who's 9.
Mm-hmm.
We need to say that because they might be listening. So if they are, hello, Reuben, and Arlo, and Nora, if you're listening, you don't understand yet.
Yeah. So Reuben is a very knowledgeable kid. Like, he understands things, he knows things. And there was one day that he was really, really frustrated with me. And I just said to him, I said, "What's wrong, Reuben?" And I remember it so well. He said, "Why is no one telling me the truth?" Because it all happened at this point.
Mm.
And he just said to me, "Why is no one telling me the truth?" And I said, "What do you mean?" He goes, "What is wrong with my brother?"
Oh.
And I think it's because he was listening to little bits of conversations from people, and he was kind of putting things in his head, and he had heard the word cancer, and he knows the only way he knows the word cancer is because of Richard's mum, and Richard's mum passed away when Richard was 18 of cancer. So that's the only way Reuben really knows the word cancer. So I sat down with him and I said, "Right, what we're going to do is you're going to write down all of your emotions that you're feeling right now, and then we're going to sit through them all, and we're going to talk about them all." And every emotion, he was saying frustrated, sad, angry, and every single one he was mentioning Arlo, and how he was scared because people were talking about Arlo, and how he was angry because no one was telling him what was wrong with Arlo. And then once I told him, and I had told him that it was cancer, he cried at me. And then he just switched, and he was like, "Right, I'm his big brother, so I've got to do this now."
Oh.
And he used to sit with him, and I remember when he came back from the hospital, he was giving him, like, because Arlo couldn't open either of his eyes after his surgery, he was giving him, like, sensory toys to play with. So Arlo was playing with a lot of it, and he was guessing what things were. Like, Reuben would give him a toy, and Arlo would feel it and guess what it was. And then Reuben became a young carer as well. So Reuben is a registered young carer now as well. So.
Well done, Reuben, for being an absolute hero in that situation, then, we must just say. You also mentioned the Childhood Eye Cancer Trust, who focus on helping and supporting to raise awareness of this condition.
Yeah.
How much did they get involved with you? Because you must have just needed to meet other people that were in a similar position.
Absolutely, yeah. When we first visited Royal London, because they're based there anyway, and a volunteer came up to us within 5 minutes of us being checked into the ward. Her name was Lena, and she's lovely, and we just had a conversation about what it all meant. And, you know, at this point he hadn't been officially diagnosed, but the conversation had started. And I think the most kind of helpful thing was just knowing that someone's just sat there just to talk to us. You know, you have medical staff coming and going and everything, but she came and saw us 3 times that day after he was diagnosed, before we left. And we email back and forth now still. They've helped us with travel. They've found us grants and things as well to help with Arlo. And yeah, I can't fault them, because they're a small charity and they know pretty much every child by name, by first name, that they deal with. And it's quite heartwarming to know that you're kind of in good hands in that way.
Yeah.
And for me as well, for Lena, I've just messaged her. I message her on WhatsApp. If I'm having a day where I need to just, I've done it many times, just need to talk about it, I will message Lena, because she will always message back, and she will always give me the right answer and what I need to hear. And also, she's on hand to talk to the nurses in the hospital. If I can't get hold of them, she's there. She'll be like, "Right, I'll talk to them and I'll get back to you." They're just incredible. They really are. And I can't fault them enough. It's amazing. They are amazing.
So in terms of Arlo now, how is he doing?
He's really, really good. So he's back at school now. He's the little boy that was... He's a character and he always has been, but he's back at school. He's going up to year 2 now this year. He is he loves his special eye. He's always talking about it. And I think he's getting used to, you know, doing the things himself. At school he'll clean it himself,
right? Okay.
Because it does need a clean sometimes.
Yeah.
And yeah, all his friends just, they know. Mm. And if he needs to clean it and he doesn't know, they'll, these little 5-year-olds and 6-year-olds come up and go, oh, Lala, you need to clean your eye.
Oh,
and yeah, he's just so good. He is. And he's grown a lot in the last year. Like looking back at pictures from him at hospital and looking at him now, it's amazing how much a child grows in a year.
And you're actually explaining that whilst he's growing, obviously that has an implication for the eye, doesn't it?
Yeah, so if he has a growth spurt, although your eyes don't grow, your socket grows. So it's like I don't know, it's really hard to explain.
So because of the growth of as he's growing, they'll do like a moulding of his eye socket. So I mentioned that implant before. That's kind of covers only a partial amount of his socket. So it's smaller than an eyeball. The rest is an artificial eye that's on top. And that will need to kind of change and adapt as he grows. So they do a moulding, which is a bit like when they fit a gum shield. Mm-hmm. And they'll kind of put this thing on the socket and take a cast of that and then do a resin eye. And it's all hand-painted eyes as well. So he needs about 3 of those a year. When he got one in March, by the time they'd made that eye after the fitting, he needed another one.
It was too small.
Yeah, it does happen.
It's just catching it right then, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
We've got a week full of appointments next week because he needs appointments every 6 months. They all come in 1 week. They're all at the same time. So we're at the moment currently preparing him for some appointments next week.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's it's really good. And we can have his eyes done on the island now as well.
Brilliant.
Before we were having to go to London, but we got referred to the National Eye Service. Yeah. And they come down to the island in St Mary's every 4 months or every 4 or 5 months. And yes, he's having it done down here, which is nice. So he knows he doesn't have to go on a boat and a train just to go and get his
eye
done.
That does make a difference because isn't it? Travel's tiring, and if you're anxious about appointments and also the cost, you don't need that on top of everything else, do you?
He does have to still go to London for his checks for his eye socket, and he's got one of those in September. But he knows all of these things. I tell him regularly so that he doesn't forget. But yeah, no, he's really, really good. We're very, very, very proud of him. It was scary, and it wasn't nice, but we had to do it. We had to make our little boy better, so we did it.
Well, it's a fascinating story, and hopefully, if there are some parents listening, it just might make them a little bit vigilant around eyes. I mean, it sounds as though it would have been quite difficult to spot. One of the things that we were talking about was the checks that kids have. Mm. Now, I understand that you can get free eyesight tests for your children, but it's down to you to kind of spot when you think that might be a time to put in for that. So it's worth parents being vigilant to those symptoms, isn't it? Because it moves so quickly. It's a disease that seems to move so quickly.
Yeah, and I mean, there is other symptoms as well. If your child's eye is red, unusually red and swollen, Richard said earlier, a squint and the white glow. And children do get free eye tests until they're 16. So, and an optician can spot something if it needs to be, if it's spotted by an optician.
But crucially, it's getting to that optician because it's definitely down to parents, isn't it? Initial vision screening.
Yeah.
I mean, before all of this, we'd never had our children's checked.
No.
And like, we didn't think that was a thing that we'd need to do.
No.
Yeah.
But I would definitely now say that everyone should get their kids' eyes checked before they're 5.
Yeah. Mm. It's worth remembering that eyesight can be saved as well.
Yeah.
Mm. Arlo only had to have his eye removed because it was such a developed tumour.
Mm-hmm.
It was 4 cubic centimetres.
Crikey.
And if it was spotted, I don't know, maybe 6 months earlier, he could have had both of his eyes, but that's a different story.
Yeah.
So early diagnosis is the most important
thing.
It's
really key to it.
Yeah.
But it sounds as though you're very much a family on the up, with lots to look forward to. So we wish you all the best of luck with that.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thanks for coming in and explaining it so beautifully.
What an incredible story, isn't it?
He's an incredible little boy.
Yeah.
He really is.
And I just do want to say, I know Megan was very coy, but Megan is the wonderful Strawberry Moon. And so many people, when I've said that you were coming on the show, have said, oh, I listened to her at Cowes and she's got a fabulous voice. So just listen out, because we will showcase when Megan's got a gig. And go and see her, because she's good.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to head into an ad break now then, and then at the back of the ad break, we'll have a bit of Lady Gaga. Thank you both for coming in.
Thank you.